This is the John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Hi, guys. Rico here. That's my new start, and I'm sticking with it until it doesn't sound ironic or sarcastic. Yeah, it's just Rico, just saying hi, and thanks for downloading this. Wigan to Nottingham, the podcast of the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio. Kerry Godleman is back. We had a right old laugh. There were some questionable accents, some questionable life choices, lots of poetry and annoying noises. And that's a little poem as well that I've just written. It's kicking off on the poetry front. If you want to get involved, if you want to usurp Steph or Tracy, our current resident poets, and send me a poem about a lanyard, there's a tease. You can email it john@absoluteradio.co.uk. And if you don't want to do that, you just want to listen to the podcast of last week's show, well, then let's do that.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
It's John Richardson on Absolute Radio here with the wonderful Kerry Godleman.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm hot. It's very hot in here.
Yeah,
I'm
you look
fine.
Flustered.
Yeah.
Is the word I would use.
Yeah, it's the age, babe.
Flustered.
Yes.
I've just had the great pleasure of watching you try to lower an office chair.
Yeah, I'm not good with officey things.
That was really good fun, that.
I didn't mean it to be clowning. I've already had issues
clowning.
With a lanyard.
There was
nearly
a shimmy
garrotted
involved.
Myself. Hey?
You shimmied.
Did I?
Yeah, you
but
did a little...
You've got to get a bit of...
Yeah, to sort of give it momentum to
get it
down
to go
there.
Down.
What's happened with your lanyard?
Lost a lanyard. Can't be trusted with a lanyard.
No.
Not used to having lanyards. With lanyards comes great responsibility, so
yeah.
I lost it.
I would rather work with somebody who loses a lanyard than who wears it all the time.
You make that sound like a vocal warm-up. I would rather... Go on, say it again quickly.
I'm struggling with it. I would rather work with somebody who loses a lanyard than who wears it all the time.
Oh, well, there you go. Very good.
Because it tells me that when you leave this building, you take it off and you are just Kerry Godleman again. You don't want anyone on the underground to know.
Tonight.
Oh, yeah, what, this? Yeah, it's just my work pass. Yeah,
yeah.
For when I'm working.
I've
yeah.
got some responsibility. I've got access to doors.
Yeah. So you weren't here last week.
No.
This is a part of the show where we recap what happened last week. This will all be new to you.
Okay.
This is what happened. This is what you missed last week.
I don't think I'd eat anything found in a tomb.
Did you hear that one?
Wow, it went in a very different direction. You
haven't
eaten anything in a tomb?
Yeah.
What?
That's it. No, I'm not going
to
explain anything.
Oh, right,
you can download
more.
The podcast if you want to find out what I was talking
actually.
About, Kerry, if you really care, actually.
Did
you listen to the show?
Well, I had a lot on last week, but I will catch it up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But you haven't until... Because it seems to me the time you would do that is probably before you came in this week.
Oh, are you telling me off?
No,
is this
I'm
a
just
telling off?
I'm just asking a question, mate. The fact that you're...
Well, it's very passag.
The fact that you're reading into it, that you're getting told off, tells me everything I need to know, young lady.
Oh!
Now, I revealed... Like, this was the highlight of last week for me. And I don't just mean of the show, I mean of my life. I revealed that I have an alter ego who is Sue from Clifton. I've been
Great.
Messaging many radio shows over the years.
Have you?
Including the wonderful Ken Bruce. But more to the point, rock and roll football. And I revealed last week that not only was the star texter into rock and roll football me, but I've been Sue from Clifton for many years. And listener Dale got in touch to tell us exactly how he felt about that revelation.
Hi, John/Sue. Just to say, your reveal that you are in fact Sue from Clifton and have been for decades is the mystery we never knew we needed solving. This feels like the radio equivalent of finding out who Banksy is. Is this art? Warmest regards, Dale from London. Or am I?
He's calm, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is it art?
It is art.
Oh, you've decided?
Yeah.
I thought we were going to discuss it, but it seems like it's all done and dusted.
It is
it's
art,
art.
Isn't it?
It's art.
I think
what,
so.
What, you pranking as Sue from Clifton is now art?
Yeah.
The bar is low for art.
Well, you don't know that I have a little bungalow that I use to get into the character of Sue from Clifton that one day will be made available to the public. I will open up Sue's bungalow to the world.
Sue's bungalow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you've got a full installation going for this art project.
Yeah. Oh, it's a big old project, this. She's got kids.
It's a shame you gave yourself away now. It's busted.
I'm ready. The pressure of being Sue has got to me now. I'm ready for... And what I think is I'm ready for other people to be Sue. What is Sue, really? Who's Banksy
now?
We can
all be Sue.
I don't believe that all the Banksys are Banksys now. I think some aren't Banksys. But he just sometimes... Someone does one that's good and he goes, oh, yeah, I'll have that one. And he's just sat at home going, yeah, I'll have that one.
This doesn't sound likely. I don't believe that. I'm quite wedded to there being one Banksy. There's only one Banksy.
There we go.
And there's only one Sue, John, and it's you.
And I don't want to make a big deal of it because I'm not that kind of guy. You know I'm not a petty guy. I'm the sort of carefree guy who just lives his life and moves from one moment to the next. But Angela Barnes was in your chair last week.
Yeah.
And this is what she did.
I don't have a garden, but I have bought you some tomatoes.
Doesn't have a garden, brought me a tomato anyway.
Oh.
Go on, what have you got to say for yourself?
What a crawler. What a crawler. I will have a strong word with Angela.
So will I. She's back next week.
He's done 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Now, John Richardson does radio. This is the John Richardson Show.
I treated myself to a taxi here this morning.
Get you.
It's a little treat because it's dark now in the mornings, isn't it?
Right.
I've been banging on about
it. You get a bit anxious in the dark.
I do. I'm scared. I'm like a little ferret. I like to move along the gutters.
Yes.
Just sneak in the sideways. But anyway, this morning I thought, no, I'm going to treat myself. So I got a taxi. The taxi driver didn't have his seatbelt on, which is obviously deplorable.
It's illegal.
He also refused to acknowledge that the car was telling him he didn't have his seatbelt on.
Oh, of course.
The pinging noise.
Yeah.
The entire duration of the journey. To the point where.
Why did he do that?
I think he didn't like me.
Oh, John,
don't get me wrong, I give him 5 stars and a tip. Of course I did. Of course I did. But I don't think there is a more annoying noise, and I will set this as a challenge now. I think this is the most annoying. Imagine that for 20 minutes.
Oh, that's unacceptable.
Is it unacceptable?
Yeah.
And it's designed to be annoying, isn't it? It's like my voice.
But why did he ignore
it? It's designed to
get your
attention.
Why did he ignore it? That's like, again, that's a real passag move, just to willfully ignore the alarm telling you to put the seatbelt on.
Maybe it was a test and I was supposed to say something.
Oh, well, you
Maybe
failed.
I failed.
You failed
Maybe
it.
He's like a psychologist.
Well, this is when you adopt Sue from Clifton. You should have slipped into character and told
yeah.
him. You missed opportunity, mate.
I don't think I've ever slipped into Sue Clifton live.
I think it's time.
I didn't have her bonnet.
It's time.
She wears a bonnet. Excuse me.
Yes.
Excuse me.
A bonnet.
I've come all the way from Clifton.
Can't she just have a gilet? I mean, isn't she?
She doesn't wear a gilet.
Oh, right.
Sue's not wearing a gilet.
When you say bonnet, do you mean like a retro
oldie-worldie
bonnet?
Yeah, no, the little.
Oh, like a bingo bonnet.
Yeah, the thing you put on your head. Not a
right.
car bonnet.
Okay, I never thought a car bonnet. That wasn't where my brain went. But I was thinking oldie worldie bonnet.
What? Is there a more annoying noise in the world than that?
I've got loads. My fridge. I've got a really whiny fridge that, I mean, I know if a door's open, mate, I'm standing right next to it, but it's like,
yes.
Bing, 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 bing. It's like, shut
How long
up.
Do you get? Because you never get quite long enough, do you?
It's just too much. It's too. I don't need
do
you
tell
to
it,
tell me.
Because my mum's fridge does that, and I make a point of saying, I know it's open, I'm standing right here. Every time.
Yeah, I can't stand it. I've got a snoring husband. That's annoying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd rather sleep with the fridge.
I've got you, just so that you feel at home. I've got you some lovely snoring. Is that me? Is that what he's doing right? Is it that kind of snore?
Well, that's too rhythmic. He's got like, it's when it's, you think, oh, if it was like that, it'd be like the sea, wouldn't it? You'd be able to be lulled and sort of go to sleep.
Yeah.
But it's when it's silence. That, it's like there's no pattern to it, John. There's no shape. There's nothing I can work with. There's no rhythm.
Why are you still together? Okay, everyone's laughing, so I guess it was a joke. But it was a genuine
I think
question.
It's a common problem. I've asked around.
It is a common problem. I am a snorer.
It's a nightmare. It's really difficult.
Yeah, it's depressing as well. It's, do you know what it is? It's quite insulting being told you're a snorer because there's a lot of extra baggage with that.
Yeah. And what, you mean medical problems?
Well, it's a sign of a time of life, isn't it?
I don't. I mean, apparently I snore, but my husband's a better sleeper, so he can just sleep through me, but I'm a light sleeper, so
you
I can't
better
sleep
sleeper. You're a better person. The way you said that, is that apparently I snore. He just doesn't bring it up on national radio. He's just one of those guys. The annoying noises are getting very specific. Dave, truck driver in Motherwell. I like the specificity. I assume he lives in Motherwell. He doesn't just drive a truck around Motherwell. truck driver is my, when this all ends, that's the job I'm going to do.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't see it, John.
I fantasize about being a truck driver.
I just can't see it.
I love, why not?
It's just not you.
Why?
Because you're Sue from Clifton, mate.
That's a very old world view, actually. Sue from Clifton can drive a truck if she wants to. I love the little cab that they
the little sleepy cubby hole.
The little thing behind the chairs.
Yeah, no, it's worth it for that alone.
Love service stations.
It's camping.
Love motorways.
It's camping.
It's camping.
Yes.
It's exactly what it is, but with loads of stuff. I love the thing they do where they open the doors when they go to bed to go, guys, there's nothing in here, all right? I just love,
really
I love
given
the whole
it a lot
world.
Of thought.
Anyway, Dave says, this might put me off being a truck driver. The worst alarm warning noise is from a DAF truck. Is that DAF, D-A-F? Is that how I say it? DAF. Gives you nightmares. It's that bad. I work Saturdays and the show keeps me sane. Thank you, Dave.
Well, Kieran and Chris have said that they'll give us a honker of a noise. It's the crazy frog. That wee guy sucked. Oh, yeah, that's horrific.
Now, I have a confession here. I really,
that's you. You're everyone.
Imagine if I was the crazy frog. Oh,
that would be a
so
big
proud.
Reveal.
I really like it.
What?
No one likes it. I unironically think it's really funny.
I refuse to believe you. I don't believe you.
Well,
you
I'm
can't
telling
mean
the truth.
That. No one likes it.
I had a big section on my last tour about the crazy frog. I ended my tour with the crazy frog.
John, so. It's awful.
I think it's really funny. I think it winds the right sort of people off.
Me?
Yeah.
It's horrible. Matt in Manchester says he cannot stand heavy breathing through the nose. Every wow, that's the main breathing hole, isn't it? Every time I get in the lift at work, it's one of those noises. I think people are doing it on purpose. What, breathing? Matt, come on. The same as people eating with their mouth open.
The great irony there is you discussing breathing holes has choked our producer, Jeff, who has now had to leave the studio. To recover.
He's malfunctioned.
Is it the main breathing hole?
Yes.
I thought that was the mouth.
No, because then you're a mouth breather, so you've got to breathe through your nose, haven't you? Because there's a commonly known diss that mouth breathing is not the vibe. So where else are you going to breathe through?
I do like to breathe through the nose because it double filters, doesn't it? That's the reason I do.
Yes. Two over one.
Because you've got little hairs in the nose, haven't you?
Yes, it's designed for it. It's designed for it.
All the gunk out.
Yeah. It's advisable to breathe through the nose. It's the main breathing hole.
Sometimes this show is all about public information. And Kerry Godliman is here to tell you that the nose is the main breathing hole.
You're welcome.
The annoying noise that has gone down the best in the studio, and this wasn't, but Will mentioned it and everyone agreed. I'm going to play you the noise and see if you can tell me what it is. Here you go, Kerry.
Is
it
a till?
It's not a till.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's a good thing that you don't know. Do you know what it tells me? You grow your own tomatoes. That's what it tells me. That, I am reliably informed by Will, is the sound of a McDonald's fryer telling the people there that the chips are ready, but the basket hasn't been lifted out of the fat.
God, that's very specific,
isn't
it?
Specific? And I thought, that's a bit weird, but everyone in the studio concurred that that is. And I think it's related to the fact that if you hear that noise, you're waiting for food, probably. You're waiting for those chips.
Look, rubbish food.
Oh.
I don't grow McDonald's, John.
Don't
you? I grow my own tomatoes, darling.
Yeah, I know you do. Well, I say I know you do. I've had absolutely no evidence. But apparently that's a very irritating noise. And I think it's very irritating because a lot of people have heard that noise and then just thought, ooh, I know what I'm having for lunch today.
Oh,
so I apologise.
No, don't do it. Don't have McDonald's chips.
Do.
Have no.
Go on.
Have something nicer.
I often wondered why you get so much voiceover work, and just then I got it. And if you're a company looking for that as your tagline, don't have that. Have something nicer. The most annoying noise is anything from the bagging area. Dan, 47, cynic.
I agree with Dan.
Yeah, I think he's not far wrong, is he? But I think that noise doesn't happen anymore. I think that was so annoying we all agreed to stop it. And I don't think you hear that noise anymore.
Really?
I haven't heard that for a long time, and I'm putting stuff all over that bagging area. Don't you worry about that. I'm not even scanning stuff properly. I'm putting two down when I've scanned one.
So you think they've done away with it?
I'm really pushing the bagging area and they're not having it. Nobody suggested this. This is Jeff's most annoying noise. You know what that was?
No, I missed it. Sorry.
I'll play you one more time.
That's an animal, isn't it?
Yes! That's not a hob.
That's not a hob. That's not electrical or technical. That is a creature.
You're listening to Kerry Godleman guesses whether it's technology or something alive.
There'll be an app for that.
There'll be
an app to say, is that a machine or a creature?
That is the sound of foxes, which is...
Oh, they can make way, way worse noises than that.
Okay, well,
they can make...
I don't want to ask how you know that or what you've done. Now is not the time for a confession. But that, I think foxes, I still think
that's
I'm
a
winning.
Mild fox.
Is it?
Yeah.
Describe that fox to me.
It's a mild-mannered fox.
With reading glasses. That's just a fox reading. Yes. That's how annoying they are.
Yeah, it's a fox in a jumper. Like, they can get much louder and more aggressive than that.
Yeah, it's a very London thing, the fox noise, I
think. Is it? Do you not get them up north? Do you not get foxes up there?
I think the minute you leave the M25, foxes are a completely different creature.
Is that right?
I've lived all over the land. I lived in the southwest. I lived in Bristol.
Yes, you have.
I lived in Swindon. I've grew up in Lancashire. I now live in Yorkshire.
And what, and the foxes
I've been
are not
to Scotland and Wales. You just don't see foxes out. It's a mad thing that you come to London. Everyone in London thinks foxes are basically live side by side with humankind.
Yes.
Just nip into Tesco for a sandwich.
Yes.
And the minute you know they don't. Normal foxes don't want you to see them.
We're literally hanging out with foxes down here.
I know.
They're everywhere.
It's because you live in a dirty cesspit.
John Richardson. All right, see. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
All across the land, the radio waves are chock full of people who've been on a park run and done something with their life. And everyone's like, oh, well done. Oh, man, I just love. This is not the place or the time. This is the home of the alternative view.
Fair enough.
I'm going to start. You've had 2 weeks to achieve something.
Well, the reason I wasn't here last week is because I took my daughter to the Manchester University Open Day.
Your
and I'm doing
face.
It in a smug voice.
Yeah,
well, oh, I can't come Saturday. I'm taking my daughter to Manchester University Open Day.
Why would you do that, though? Did you not want to go with a mate? Did she want to go with you?
Yeah. The train was full of parents and teenagers going to Manchester or other universities because it's open day season.
Right.
I felt so smug, John.
Did you?
Yeah,
why?
People talking really loud about predicted grades. And being, well, we've been offered, got to get an A star, A. That's
and
an annoying
still
noise, isn't it?
A level. But it's not, it's 1, 2, 3 at GCSE, but it's A, still at A.
That's
level,
right.
Is it?
Or A star.
But why were you smug?
Because I got her on a train, I got her up there, I've raised a child that might go to uni. There's loads to celebrate.
That sounds unbearable
to
me.
It was off the scale smuggery. It was a whole train of smuggery.
Yeah, and is she? Do you think she'll go to Manchester?
I don't know. She'll have to get an A.
Does she have to get an A?
Well, I don't know. I think they want A's and B's, don't they?
They don't just let any old riffraff in. We all want stuff. I want stuff.
Exactly. We all want stuff. But yeah, she loved it. It's a really good open day. I felt really smug about it.
You still do?
I mean,
your posture
really cocky.
Has changed.
I'm really feeling cocky about it. I don't think we'll go to another one. I feel like we smashed it.
You're just going to do one and done?
One done.
There you go.
One and done.
That's
that'll
a city.
Do. You saw it. You know what it looks like.
I think I went to 2.
Did you? What? Where
I
did
went
you...
to Bristol.
Yeah.
And I drove down on my own.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find my Airbnb. And I parked up by the Downs and cried in my car.
Oh, John!
And then I went to the open day the next day. And I remember thinking, I don't like the lecturers. I don't like the building that the university is in. And I don't like anybody else who's on my course.
Did you go there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did that go?
I dropped out after a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it
okay.
was the worst choice of my life. And then I went to an open day in Newcastle at that university, and there was a closing down sale in a pub. And
what?
The pub was closing down, and they did it like...
what were they selling?
Like DFS. Beer! Beer, malt beer.
And that was the winner, you went to Newcastle.
All the meals were buy one, get one free with a free pudding.
Were they selling everything, like the furniture, the dartboard, the pool table?
I'm sure they would have been. It was the end of a whole brewery. The Firkin breweries were going. So it was just like everything.
Where's the Firkin breweries gone? I didn't know that.
You've once again saved me having to bring your smugness down. You may have a child who's going to university, but everything else of the last 20 years has entirely passed you by.
Yeah, I didn't know the Firkin.
But I'm glad you were there for your daughter, because I went to a city that I thought, oh, this is a really cool city, and I liked the look of the university, and the pub was closing down. It was the cheapest drinks I'd ever had in my life. And I still went to the one where I cried in my car, because I felt like that's the decision you're supposed to make.
You need me with you.
Yeah, well, if you'd have been there, what would you have said?
I'd have said, this doesn't make you happy, John. You don't look happy. You're crying. Call me instinctive. I've got it's a mother's instinct. You're crying. It doesn't seem to have made you happy. No. Go to the one that made you happy with the cheap beer.
Yeah, but then if I'd have been happy, I wouldn't be where I am now, would I?
That's true.
You know, there's a certain amount of making sure that you're miserable so one day you can tell jokes about being miserable.
That's true.
I want to be miserable.
You can't stop me.
I feel like this has backfired and I've sort of undermined not just your smugness for the past, but my entire life choices for the last 25 years. It's time this nation got brought down by me. And some people are so smug that they want me to take them down in the flesh. And I'm delighted to say that Steve has called. Steve, how are you?
I'm great, thank you very much. Lovely to speak with you.
We'll sort that out, mate. Don't you worry about that. You're great now. Whereabouts in the world are you?
So I'm in Kent.
Very vague. Worried I'm going to pop round. I picked up on that.
Kent.
I'm
don't
in a county.
Don't you worry about where's Kent.
I'm in the southeast of England, yeah. No, I'm not in a nice part of Kent, unfortunately, which is why I'm keeping it vague.
Oh. All of it was the Garden of England.
It is the Garden of England.
But not where you are.
Further out than where I am, yes.
Yeah, you're on the compost heap. What are you feeling smug about, Steve?
So my daughter decided to buy our granddaughter two guinea pigs 2 days before they went on holiday.
Oh, so, mate.
We had to look after them for a week.
And
my smugness is they're still alive.
Congratulations.
That's how low I set the bar. They are still alive.
I think that's a huge achievement.
And the vet's on standby with two replacements just in case it did turn into an episode of Only Fools and Horses.
That is the thing with guinea pigs. You've got to have two, haven't you? Because they get lonely. So my question is, they're alive, but are they happy? Because they need quite a lot to be fulfilled, guinea pigs.
Well, all these ones seem to need to be happy was to poop a lot in the corner of the cage. That's all they seem to...
And have you cleaned... Did you clean the cage out?
Every single day, mate, yes.
Oh,
it was,
mate.
Yeah, I got the... my wife was there with me, but obviously I was the one on my hands and knees.
When you say she was there with you, she just barked instructions, didn't she?
She gave me the instructions, that's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. She told
you've missed a bit, Steve. You've missed a bit.
Exactly, yeah. I had to get right in that cage. It was after day five, it wasn't pleasant, no.
And do you know that guinea pigs need a certain vitamin that they can't produce themselves?
What?
I did not know that, no. But
okay, well, you haven't looked after the gam. I'm sorry to break it to you, Steve, that the effects of your week's care are long-term.
You're making that up.
I'm reading a book about guinea pigs, mate. There's nothing I don't know about.
They do make a weird noise, don't they, talking of noises?
Yeah, they do.
They make, yeah, very
kind of thing.
They sound like gremlins after you fed them after midnight.
Oh, you never fed it after midnight, have you? They need vitamin C. They need high doses of vitamin C because they can't produce it or something.
Look,
anyway.
He kept them alive. He doesn't need them to be
alive.
Happy and vitamined.
I'm handed them over now. They're no longer my responsibility.
What are they called?
They're called... we don't know why one's called Max... but we do know why one's called Oreo.
Why is it looks
that?
Like one?
It's just my six-year-old granddaughter, it's just her favourite biscuit, and she just decided she was going to call her guinea pig after her favourite biscuit.
That's fair enough. And custard cream is a ridiculous name for a guinea pig, so she's gone the right way there.
Random.
Well, I will allow the smugness for keeping the guinea pigs alive. However, in terms of your wider life, you've raised a daughter who thinks it's acceptable to buy a guinea pig 2 days before she goes on holiday. So I would just remind yourself that there's some fundamental flaws there in probably your parenting.
I'm very glad you raised the wider picture there, because that's not the only thing that she's... She's let me down on that.
Okay, listen, I'm going to keep you on the line and we're going to have a good chat and she's going to get sorted right out, mate. Pete the roofer has been back in touch.
Love
our
Pete.
Old friend Pete, who went into his garden and smashed something up with a dumbbell. That's the sort of person we're looking for. He's already done his weekly food shop while everybody else in his house is still asleep.
Oh, well, that's a lot to feel smug about.
I think it is, yeah. I'm struggling. That's the first one I'm struggling with.
Really?
I'm bang on board with that. An abandoned supermarket.
Come on, John. You can bring him down a peg or two.
I'd need some more details, really, about who is in the house, what he's bought on the shop. I mean, I could speculate. I could bring him down a peg or two there.
Yes. More information needed.
And I would suggest he's become one of those morning people If he's up and about and he's gone out already, he's just, well, it's Saturday morning, isn't it? He's what?
He's done it online.
He's done it online? You don't think he's gone out?
Oh, well, if he hasn't gone out, he's got nothing to be smug about.
Oh, Pete, mate. If you've just done an... I tell you, with Pete, if you've gone online and done your shop and you've texted me in claiming to have done your weekly food shop...
No, unacceptable.
We're going to have words, Pete. I would... I've never done this before, Pete. I need you to urgently get in touch.
Don't wind Pete up because he smashes things up with dumbbells.
Well, that's it. Pete goes out to destroy his goods. He's certainly going out for shopping.
Don't antagonise Pete,
John. I think Pete's old school. Pete knows if he does it online, he doesn't get to look at his bananas. He gets given the bananas they've decided he wants, and Pete wants to look at his bananas. Pete wants to handle his fruit. I'd be absolutely amazed. We're going to just stall my life, stall everything on Absolute Radio until we hear from Pete. And we'll be doing more of those next week. If you know you're going to be smug about something, get in touch during the week. 8, 12, 15, john@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
I've upset a lot of people in my life. None more so than poets, it seems. So while you were away last week, Kerry... Yeah. I read a poem from a rival poet to someone who was...
But you promised the role to someone else.
I don't... Look, we're going to have to go, but it's a legal matter now. That's what I was supposed to say. Lawyers
are involved.
You
can't do that. You can't, like, allocate a resident poem and then just give the role to someone else. Is that what you did?
John. I don't know what I did. I just wanted some silly rhyming poems. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to have a bit of fun on air. That's all I wanted. Anyway, a spat has kicked off. So last week I read a poem from Steph. It was a good poem. We had a good time.
Yeah.
Tracy has been back in touch. Is very upset that she was of the belief that she was already, as you say, the resident poet. Oh, it's all going wrong. She's on the line.
Okay.
Just be nice to her.
Yeah.
Okay, she's had a tough week.
I haven't got a problem being nice to people.
Okay. I'm talking to myself out loud. John, just be nice
be
to Tracy.
Be nice to her, John.
Tracy is on the line now, and you sent us another poem, didn't you?
I did, yes. And I'm too scared to read it out on air, so Will has let me send it as a voice note.
Okay, so I'm now going to play you reading your poem. In response to another poet's poem. I'm not going to lie to you, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to press a button and then we're going to hear
it's
you.
It's art, John, it's art.
It's art, isn't it? And as we've discussed, the bar is...
Low.
Low. Right, here we go, Tracy.
Dear John, I'm quite sad. The reason should be evident. The week before last, I was your poet in residence. So I've canvassed for advice, but would anybody listen? Apparently, yes, a Sue from Clifton. She has quite a lot of opinions. Said your memory is poor. She was really quite irritated. Promised she would have a word and get my position reinstated. You'll be hearing from her soon. She sounds a bit crazy. I hope this email finds you well. With kind regards, Tracy.
It's superb.
I love that.
And I tell you what, there's a bit of Stan energy to it, isn't there? There's a slight threat in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. A few more stanzas, I don't think it would have ended well for Sue in Clifton.
The word stanzas just hit me like a...
feel quite smug about
blow
it.
Blow to the solar plexus.
I feel really smug about it.
Yeah, we're going to discuss this next week. Your use of the word stanza.
I just said stanza like I say it all the time.
So how do I end this, Tracy? I guess I say you are the official poet in residence and then we wait to hear back from Steph or a mystery third poet who's been sending them in every week and I've completely ignored and is just going to wait for me outside my car.
It should be a challenge, shouldn't it? Poetry challenge.
I think you've got to make it official. She needs a lanyard. Give her a lanyard. It's not real unless you've got a lanyard.
I tell you what, if you can give me a good rhyme now for the word lanyard, you will be the official poet in residence.
Oh, come on. That's
easy
fair.
For Tracy.
It's not lanyard.
Come on, Trace. You can do it, babe.
All right.
What rhymes with that?
Head to head. Head to head. You and Steph next week. I want a poem about lanyards. And the winner...
Lampard. Frank Lampard. There you go.
Yay.
Thanks so much for getting in touch again. And it was a cracking poem. And I apologise for all the upset I've caused to you and all of Britain. And Europe. I've probably upset some people in Belgium, let's be honest. Thanks so much, Tracy. Have a great week.
Bye, Tracy.
Thank you. Bye.
Kerry, does jam tart rhyme with lanyard?
No.
No? Frank Lampard is wearing his lanyard eating a jam tart.
No, that just pulling out the vowel sound doesn't make it a rhyme.
Okay. I'm not a poet, though, am I? I just upset poets. That's my role.
It's
here.
A very
just
to niche
upset
talent.
The poets of Britain.
You just antagonise poets.
Yeah, look out, Pamers. I have got a bad word to say about Pamers before a spat kicks off. And I tell you what,
I
if Ken
Pamers.
Bruce and Pamers want to go out and have nice dinner, I'm well up for that. All right.
That sounds like a lovely evening.
Yeah, let's do it. And can I just congratulate you on stanzas?
Thank
which,
you.
Which, while we were talking, I've Googled. And a stanza is a group of lines of poetry forming a unit.
Thank you. Just
you
use
that.
It like I know what I'm talking about and I do.
Yeah, I just wonder what
I like
else
that
you're
you have to Google
back.
Words that I use just to check that I haven't got it wrong.
No, I knew you'd got it right. I didn't know what it meant because I'm an ill-educated man.
Well, I know words, mate.
John Richardson
and the John Richardson Show.
Nice to have some good news knocking about, isn't there?
Yeah.
A bit of good news.
Go on.
Shall I read your headline that's good news?
Yeah.
Sausage vending machines are booming in Germany. Do you know the only better headline than that is sausage vending machines are booming on your street right now? I guarantee now, if I said on your street now there's a sausage vending machine, listenership would plummet. It's like ice cream van for grown-ups, that, isn't it? You can go get a sausage now.
It just doesn't
now.
Sound right, does it, a sausage vending machine?
It's not the way you say it. I've read this story 3 or 4 times just to get the details right, and it's not until you said it then that anything sinister struck me about it. It doesn't sound right, does it?
It just
doesn't
sound
right. Sausage vending machine.
Like, are they wrapped... Or are they just loose, rattling around a machine?
You've hit right on the problem there, is they're not cooked sausages. So it's not like you can just press a button and a hot sausage
So you can't
comes
just
out.
Get a sausage out and eat it to
you
go?
You can't just get a sausage in a napkin and wander down the street nibbling on it. They're, so it's like a butcher's, so they're in a packet.
But why does that need its own vending machine?
Well, there's actually some very interesting information on that in the article about like certain areas of Germany where like it's not feasible to have like an actual retail shop because of like turnover in buildings and things like that and structural. it's quite a dry story, is the truth. But the last line I like: in the international imagination, unusual vending machines have long had an association with Japan, where they've been known to sell everything from sake to underwear. And those are the two parameters.
Yeah, that's not everything,
booze
is it?
And underwear are the two extremes, and everything else fits inside that.
They don't sell, like, a fridge in a vending machine, do they? They don't sell everything, like a chair.
A vending machine, vending machine.
Yeah, exactly.
You've gone very surreal this week. I like it. The poetry chat has brought out the artist in all
well,
of us, I think.
I think of this now as art. We've elevated this
You're
medium
listening to live
to
art on Absolute Radio.
Yeah.
You are an artist.
Talking of art... Do you want to hear my new story?
I'll hear it in a minute. I don't want to save it.
I've got a good
got
one, and it's
hour,
arty.
Mate.
It's arty, mate.
If you want, next week, we can do the show in one link and just get everything out. And then I can play 2 hours and 45 minutes
of music. I just went
with
the inspiration. The link was there, and I grabbed it prematurely.
Oh, you did. It was very slick.
Thank
on
you.
On a different show. On one of the stations where they don't play music and they got time to fill. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
We'd have segued straight in there, and I'd have gone.
I was over the moon with that.
That was
now
really
you've
good.
Just ruined it.
Sorry, mate. Should we just stare at each other in silence now for a minute and just imagine the link that would have happened? Kerry's got a story coming up. I wonder if you can guess what it's going to be about. It's not about sausages, is it? Hey, Kerry,
yeah.
Has anything caught your eye in the news this week?
Well, it's funny you should ask, John.
What's the general
I've got a story
topic?
About art?
Is it art worthy, is
yeah.
it? All right.
Yes. Listen to this. A man discovered an old painting in his home. It turned out to be a Pablo Picasso worth about £5 million, hidden away for decades because his mum hated it. His dad was a junk dealer. When he was cleaning out the cellar in his house in Capri in Italy, he came across
nice.
The piece of artwork. But it says Picasso in the corner and it looks like a Picasso, but it's been in the loft because he hated it.
Cellar.
Cellar, loft, cellar.
Not even listening to your own story, mate. I would have put it in the loft because you'd be less likely to get damp. Cellar, I think that's going to get damp down
I think
there.
The wrong part of the story has caught your attention.
Where do you keep your paintings? 8, 12, 15? Cellar or
I mean,
loft?
If you look at this picture, it does look like a Picasso.
Yeah, but so would a painting done by somebody who wanted to pretend it was a Picasso, right? It does look like a Picasso because it's all wonky. Looks like it's a rubbish, isn't it?
I mean, there's a brilliant picture of his mum just sat in a big chair looking happy with it on the wall above her.
And is that when she knows it's worth 5 million or before?
Well, I don't think they knew. They just didn't seem to know. And then they stuck it in the cellar and then now he's just found it. I mean, you'd be over the moon, wouldn't you, if you found a Picasso in your cellar?
Oh, I would. Yeah.
Do you think there might
be
anything worth...
I'd be over the moon to find a cellar. I haven't got one.
I have dreams where I have find a secret room. Do you have those?
Oh, well, I call them nightmares. There's stuff in mine.
No, don't you have that, where you're like, oh, look, there's another room?
Yeah.
No?
I do. Well,
And if there was a Picasso in it?
You've got to be the person that builds the other room. So the dreams I have, I look around my house and think, I could put a little partition in there and nobody
would
know.
Put a stud wall in.
Put a stud wall in and then I can hide behind that and have a good cry.
That's just finding places to have a cry.
But if you're that kind of person, then be the person in your house that puts that secret room in now.
Crying
and then
room.
You set that up for someone in 50 years to go, they tap the wall and they go, oh my God, well, you know that crazy Kerry lady used to live here. God knows what she's put behind there.
You've taken this in a direction I just couldn't have foreseen.
Yeah, that's what I do. You try and have a conversation about art. I'll make it about crying in a secret room in your house, mate. That's what I'll do.
Congratulations.
You've misjudged me there because you've assumed I'm the kind of person who is pleased for other people.
Right, yes, I see.
You think that a painting is worthless, but it's worth 5 million. What I like is the other story, someone who's bought a painting for 5 million only to find out it's worthless. That's what I like.
Yeah, no, that is a funnier story.
Yeah, you either watch Antique Roadshow for one of two clips, don't you? There, oh my God, 4 million, or the, what, 12 quid? I've been cleaning this thing every week for 40 years and it's worth 12 quid. No, no, it's fine. I would never sell it anyway because it's a family heirloom.
John Richardson. All right, see. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
Coming up later today, it is rock and roll football with Matt Ford and Dyson. They are on air from 2 till 5 p.m. Now, I am not allowed to talk about football at the moment because it hurt my feelings yesterday. And it's a stupid game and you shouldn't engage
with
it.
Is it a stupid game when you lose?
It's always a stupid game,
and it's a wonderful, beautiful game when you win.
Sometimes it gives you five... It's life is what it is. Football is life. It's ultimately pointless and it will bring you no joy. Every now and again, it's nice for 5 seconds. And that keeps you going, doesn't it?
Wow. Yep. What a philosophical downer.
But you should listen to Rock and Roll Football. They will keep you up to date with everything that's happening
up
and
down
the land.
I don't do football. It's not my area.
No, you don't have to because they're very funny.
Okay. But they're funny about football.
No, they're funny about other things.
Right.
They're funny about all sorts of things, and they're funny about football.
Right.
And they're good guys. Yeah. Am I doing a good job of promoting the brand?
Good guys.
They're just good guys.
They're
having a
good
time.
They're just good guys.
It's like listening to your mates, and you've got the football on, and they're funny, and then it's 5 o'clock, and they go.
Right.
That's what happens with my friends, right? They look at their watch, and they go, oh, my God, you're not paying me to be here anymore. And
they
then
go.
They leave.
Yeah.
What we do is we sabotage their show, as you know. You've been part of this before.
Yeah.
You missed last week's huge development. We've discussed Sue from Clifton, but it's the best thing I've ever done.
Right.
I won my own competition. That's how tragic my life is. I set up a sabotage where you text in their show. If you get them to read out a topic of our choosing based on our show, you get bonus points. So last week we said, after Angela bought me a tomato.
All right.
Easy to do. Really easy. Didn't struggle at all. Didn't have to get it an extra seat on the train or anything. Just popped a little tomato in a bag and brought it in for me. A really nice, simple thing to do. So we asked you to message their show and get them to read out fruits and vegetables. I said you could have extra points if you got them to say kumquat. That was the deal last week. And then it all got very meta. So they're sort of onto us, but they don't know what we're doing. So they then invited their listeners to suggest ways that they could prank us back. And then we prank them talking about... It's all very confusing. It's easiest if I just play you the clip. So this is what happened.
Because he's been pranking us, but we don't know how, which is quite frustrating. But we need to get our own back on him. You might have to join in with this next Saturday during his show.
We need your help, yeah. What's this other one now? Why don't you get people to text in and mention something like fruit and vegetables? The more references, the better. That would be a peach of a trick, kumquat may. It would be a gem of an idea. Let us have a go, old bean, and your listeners will smash it. That'll be a turnip for the books. He's on fire with the puns, Mark, isn't
he? Mark in Essex.
Wow.
Mark in Essex. That is six
incredible
fruits and vegetables, plus a bonus point for getting kumquat in there, plus, I would say, 5 bonus points for getting them to be pranked by us while thinking that they were pranking us
yeah,
back.
Yeah, that is incredible.
It's almost like the end of series finale,
isn't it? It's the Matrix level.
It's very hard to know where you go from that. But I'm because every week the listener steps up. So the first week it was 1, that was lovely. Then it was 2 in the same text. Then it was me, and I thought, well, that's not going to be surpassed. Then it's a listener with 6 in a text about them thinking they're being cleverer than us. So
where
you've
can it go
set
from
the bar
there?
In set. Well, I'm excited to see. I'm about this afternoon, so Sue might be back. I'm going to have to change my name because
yeah,
I think they're on to Sue.
You've exposed Sue.
So I will. I'll change my name, but I'm going to be part of it this afternoon. Don't you worry about that. I think after we spoke to Steve earlier, he was smug for having not killed guinea pigs, which again, out of context, that was insane, but it made sense at the time. But I think if you could text in pets, like animals and pets, and get
lovely
them to read out those. And today's bonus point, if you can make one of them make the noise of an animal at some point. I mean, there's every chance they will anyway. It's a very excitable man. If you text in about crisps, he'll probably make a noise like an excited chimp.
That was really good.
Thank you very much. That is the first time you've looked at me with that sort of level of respect.
I've got a new respect for you. It's a lovely chimp.
What a lovely chimp.
Do you want me to
chimp
give you some examples?
Yes, please.
Glad it's not me playing out there today. It's raining cats and dogs.
Yes.
That's, I don't know if that's route one. Call this cold. It's still summer in Wigan. I've got my budgie smugglers on.
Yes. Very good. And a third mention of Wigan this week on the show. It's the Wigan special.
Is it acceptable that my husband put his full home kitten? Does that work?
Yeah, it sort of works. I don't mind
check
it.
Check with Tracy the poet. It's,
I mean, he's from Nottingham, so is that... Oh,
they don't say kitten.
Let me get into Nottingham. What? Duck. I ain't doing duck.
What was that?
Losing listeners.
That, yeah, I mean,
I'm going to read it in Matt Ford's voice.
After thinking you had chimp... Really good. Yeah. You really blew it on Nottingham.
You know, that it was all built on caves, isn't it, Nottingham? Not a lot of people know that, but there's a whole system of caves underneath Nottingham. Hey, is it... Hey. Oh, I'm better at chimp than Nottingham. That's humiliating. Is it acceptable? My husband puts his own kit on to watch the game. It sort of works in a Nottingham accent.
Yeah, you've made it work.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
It's time to tie up all the loose ends from today. It's one of those freewheeling shows where, like, man, we just go where we go, yeah?
It's like we're scatting.
Are we scatting?
Yeah.
Okay. but then we have a good tidy up.
Yes.
That's what this is.
Yes.
We've been scatting for 2¾ hours, and now we've got the Hoover out, and we're going to got some antibacterial wipes on it.
Yeah.
I'm pleased. This first one is important. So let me just say, we've had a text in that says, your presenter just stated that the taxi driver did not wear his seatbelt this morning and that it was illegal not to. I just point out, I said the taxi driver wasn't wearing the seatbelt. You said it was illegal.
So I did. I stand by that.
We've offended this person together.
Okay.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
That's not in capitals, but I have added that myself. taxi drivers are exempt from wearing seatbelts whilst on hire or waiting at a taxi rank, which is sort of all the time, isn't it? They're either waiting or on hire. So
yeah,
they're just...
But then if you've got one of those cars that beeps when you haven't got your seatbelt on, that's chaos.
Yeah, well, what they do is they put it on and then they sit down. Have you seen them do that? So it's sort of fastened behind them, which is utterly pointless. I mean,
that's...
if it's not... I don't text in now, mate, because I'm off, but if it's not illegal, it should be. Anyway...
I've got a few.
On the noises...
No, sorry, you're sticking with noisy. I'm
no,
just doing
no,
other
whatever,
admin.
Mate. Oh, no, now we're doing a messy tidy-up. Oh, no, it's a messy tidy-up.
Loosen up, John. Right, this one's about unis. You can go back to noises.
All right, thank you.
We're scatting tidy-up. he said, I'm most proud of my degree. I'm 52 years old and my mum did come with me to my open day and she's 80 now. It was great. Thumbs up emoji.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well done.
That's good.
All right.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. You can go back to your
tidy
up.
No, that's all right. Well, the noise is, I think we have a winner right in the last minute. Chris also loves the Crazy Frog and thought he was alone. Chris, you're not alone. someone suggests somebody else's alarm clock.
That's true.
As the most annoying noise ever. Les in Darlington says, when my kids were young, I didn't wear a seatbelt, but we didn't have the noise. So they would sit in the back and go beep, beep, beep until I did put my seatbelt on. That was annoying. Darlington, I didn't do your Darlington accent, but I could have. And I think this is the winner. Sarah and Darcy driving to NatSat art class from Manchester. The most annoying noise is a squeaky windscreen wiper when it's raining. And I think that's bang on.
Yeah, that is an annoying noise.
Not the accent, but the noise. The accent is very busy. But there's a lot to be said because it's a noise you cannot escape from.
What about this, though? Someone has also said, the more they hear you, John, the more they think that are their power animal.
Oh, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about
me. I've been called Oswestry.
I've been called a something animal. Oswestry.
Yeah, where's
that? Sort of Welsh, is it Welsh borders or is it Wales, Oswestry?
So you're Greg's power animal. Is that like a spirit animal?
This is the messiest tidy-up ever. Right, we need to name the podcast. Have you got an idea?
What about, I don't know, power animal?
John the power animal. I was thinking, because we mentioned Wigan three times.
Oh, yeah.
Wigan to Nottingham. Like, we're going to Nottingham, but Wigan to Nottingham, because I didn't know. Oh, just call it whatever you like.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
OK, there we go. That's this week's show. If that has sparked off anything in your mind, you could email john@absoluteradio.co.uk. That's John, J-O-N. You can send it to John, J-O-H, and it will reach us, but I won't read it because I'm a sulky little gremlin. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. I'll be with the fantastic Angela Barnes. And if you want to hear the show live, it's Absolute Radio, 8 a.m. next Saturday. See you there. I love you, Ilan Melier.